the Science Branch Broadcast. 1 hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We are broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is November 11, 2015. Saints, the world is in turmoil. Most don't realize it, but we are in that time of the end. And that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please make this choice tonight. If you need help after the program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, prayer request, and or message. Now remember, folks, we also take prayer requests. If you send it to me in an email or you send it to me by a letter, we'll take it to the mission church and we will anoint it and pray over it, and it will we'll anoint it and pray over it and mail it back to you. That's the thing. Anyway, we'll mail it back to you. So pray about that, or you can call me at 620-878-4682. 620-878-4682. In an emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886. You can always find updates of the breaking news, our ministry, radio program archives, and our mailing address on our blog, which is very simply prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. And remember, we are a national satellite radio program, which also is simulcast live on the net internationally, so pray about supporting airtime. Our program archives can be found at prophecyhour.com. That's like a hub for all our ministry, so go over there and check it out. It's really smartphone friendly. If you're a regular listener to this program, you know I strongly believe that you should have a stock of food. At least a year is enough for your family and some extra for the people that the fodder might send you in a time of trouble. Remember, if you're storing up for yourself, you know, it's not about that. It's about sharing with others and the people that the fodder will send you. You can have extra food, make extra food a lifestyle, as I said so many times on this program that I do and have did all these years of my life. Anyway, as so much can happen in these unsure times, yes, a lifestyle means buying extra food from the store on a regular basis. Then you eventually have an extra store of foods. But many people do out there sell storage food, so I thought I'd look into it to see if I could find you the best one, because after all, not everybody wants to do it that way, or they want to immediately stock up. So the best one that I've found for you thus far is Wise Foods. And you can find a link for that at prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. And for them, there's also a phone number on it. Well, I suggest spending a few minutes on the phone with them and ask them what they have. The phone number is 855-977-9844. 855-977-9844. A call will simply cost you nothing, and they will gladly answer your questions. And so pray about it. And remember, you even need things like bug-out bags. Even I've had these for many, many years, probably over 15 years or so, because I had them before Y2K. But you continually replenish those and make sure you have the right food in them and things to survive on, like knives and things like that. But Wise Food also has those bug-out bags because, you know, if the wind blows your house away or something happens and you have to leave, then you need those bags. It's also a smart thing to have something emergency in your car. Anyway, you can find a link to their website also at prophecyhour.com. And for the record, if you go to our link on our website, or use the phone number I gave you, guess what? There will be a small percent will go to Messiah's Branch to support the Wichita Mission Church. So there's a way you can support the Wichita Mission Church without giving, without getting anything, you know. And I'm not saying, anyway, now let's have a prayer and bring on tonight's guest. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray. Father, I pray that radio tonight goes according to your will and not mine. And please give everyone out there ears in which to hear the truth. So please, Father, bless this program tonight. Amen and amen. Well, tonight's guest, we brought him back on once again, is Pastor Carl Gallatz. He is that best-selling author. He's also a senior pastor since 1987. He's a talk radio host, heard nationally, internationally, TV, radio guest commentary. You know, if we talked about this guy long enough, we could spend a half hour talking about all the things that he's did. I suggest you go to his website, which is carlgallatz.com, and check him out. And he is the founder of PNN, or else PPS Simmons, News and Ministry Radio Network, and he's got lots of videos and things over there. Carl has written three books now, The Rabbi Who Found Messiah, The Story of Yitzhar Kaduri, and His Prophecies of the End Time. That's a fabulous book. If you haven't got it, you need to get it. It'll let you know what's going on right now in Israel in the end time, because it is being used to evangelize the Jews, as my regular listeners know, because we've had Zeb Porat on that is indeed using the book to save Jews in Israel. Anyway, he also has a book called The Magic Man in the Sky. It's a coffee table book. Put it on your coffee table, and if you have friends that aren't Christian, it's a good book to give it to them to get them to start asking questions. He also has a book called Final Warning, and his newest book is called Be Thou Prepared, Equipping the Church for Persecution in Times of Trouble. Well, I think that's a book that everybody should have, because it gives you lots of things about what's going on and what you should do, and that's a question I get asked all the time. What should we do? Just like we were talking about earlier about storing up some food. That, I believe, is a must. And I'm not a hypocrite. I store food. I'm not just telling you to go buy it. In fact, I'm telling you to get it from the store first. But if that isn't your thing, then you can go do the other. Anyway, but tonight, Carl is back to talk more with us about Christian persecution. And this is the man on the scene. Welcome, Pastor Carl Gallatz. How are you?
Pastor Dan, I'm doing wonderful. Thank you for having me back. You're a very gracious brother and friend. God bless you.
Well, I enjoy having you on, and you always got a lot to say, yuck, yuck. But I appreciate you, Carl, and I appreciate the other work that you do. Wasn't you just traveling to another ministry conference recently?
Yes. Thanks for asking. I just returned from Toronto, Canada, and I was there for 3-4 days and preaching a prophecy conference entitled In the Days of Noah. And the main theme of my presentation was the material that's in my book, Final Warning, Understanding the Trumpet Days of Revelation. And, of course, I've done a couple of shows with you on that, and that's what I did. And I preached in a conference center that was located in the heart of the University of Toronto, and it was put on by a gentleman by the name of Richard Serrett, or Serrett is how he says his name, from Canada. He is a guest host on Coast to Coast AM, and he also has his own TV and radio program up in Toronto, and has for many years, and he's highly, highly popular up in Canada and along the northeastern seaboard, and he's the one that put it on and invited me up, so yeah, it was great, and I just got back from there.
Well, amen. No greater thing to be able to witness in these end times and make people aware and prayerfully share their faith so others will be brought into Yeshua. Well, you know, Carl, this Christian persecution just continually, I mean, every day I look at the news, there's something more. And what do you think?
Yeah, well, you know, it's interesting. Of course, a good section of my book is devoted to this, and that's not the only thing my book is about, as you know. But also, I've been doing a lot of interviews recently on this topic, and print media, radio, and TV ministry interviews as well. But one of the latest was just the other day, and you're probably aware of this. Alan Combs had me on his Fox News Radio program, and I've been interviewed by Alan, I don't know, three or four or five times. And and so we go at it. I mean, we come at, our world views are completely opposite, as you can imagine. Our political views are completely opposite. And, of course, I come from a biblical worldview, and he comes from an atheist, a secular worldview. So his point of contention is that he's aware of my book, and he's been reading in comments I've been making in headlines at WND and in some videos we've made and TV programs that I've been on, and he's watched some of those. And so he had me on his show because he wanted to debate this issue with me. His contention is that Christians in America are not being persecuted. And he asked me what you just asked me, you know, what do I think about that? And my answer, Brother Dan, is this. Listen, the word persecution is a relative term. I understand that. Christians in America don't have any clue what real persecution is. Our brothers and sisters in Iraq, watching their wives and daughters raped, their children's heads cut off, you know, running by the hundreds of thousands, fleeing from cities and towns, from their homes, from their bank accounts, from their jobs, all in the name of Allah, simply because these people profess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Our brothers and sisters in China, by the millions that have to worship in underground churches because they refuse to register as a Christian with the government and the government's persecution of Christians. Our brothers and sisters in North Korea, 80 to 90,000 of them are in concentration camps tonight as we're speaking on the radio, free in America. But they're in concentration camps simply because they love Jesus Christ and serve him. So in America, are we being persecuted like that and like millions of others in other places around the world? Well, absolutely not. In fact, we're still one of the freest and persecution-free nations in the world in that perspective. However, and here's my point, and I'm making the same point that the Reverend Billy Graham makes and that his son Franklin Graham makes and that Todd Starnes with Fox News has made prolifically over and over. The same point that the four justices of the Supreme Court of the dissenting opinion of the latest Obergefell gay marriage case make. I'm making the same point, and that is this. There is a growing beginning of marginalization and targeting of Christians in America. It's been going on for decades. I contend it started about 100 years ago when we decided we were going to start teaching our children they came from monkeys, and we weren't going to let Christians have their point of view, you know. And so, but now it's this whole thing of, and I'm going to use the word persecution, but I want your audience to understand. I understand we're not persecuted like our brothers and sisters in other parts of the world, but this growing persecution, this growing targeting, this growing marginalization of Christians has really reached a fever pitch, and it's getting worse. And a lot of it has come under this current administration. And again, I'm not making Obama out to be the all evil one, but he certainly has egged on an awful lot of this. And the recent Supreme Court gay ruling is not helping at all. I mean, it has brought out the radical gay movement, and they are targeting Christians. Kim Davis, of course, being a prime example. The mayor in Houston being an example, et cetera. So, yes, I mean, every day in the news, I think you might have seen the article on WND Today, headline article, about this runner in this big race, you know. He came in third out of 265 people, but yet they took his third place away from him because when he got in, they saw a headband on his head that had a scripture verse from Isaiah quoted on it. So they disqualified him, even though they had told him in the beginning of the race he could wear the headband. But somebody decided while the race was going on they didn't like that Christian and that Christian verse, so they declared him dead last, even though he won third place. And so, you know, these kinds of marginalizations and targeting right up to the UCC killing in Oregon, and, I mean, you know, the North Carolina killing, and on it goes, brother. So, yeah, we're in this process. We see it, and it disturbs us greatly, and we're speaking to it, trying to quell the tide, Pastor Dan.
Well, let's go with this, Carl. Well, you know, we know that the word persecution means this. We're not near the severity of our brothers and sisters that are almost being, was genocide going on in the Middle East. But having said that, it has to start somewhere. And if we allow this marginalization, as you call it, to continue to go on, if the church doesn't wake up and start speaking out, don't you think it's going to get worse and worse and worse?
Absolutely. And that was my point with Alan Combs, and that's my point in my book, because it does have to, you brilliantly stated it, Pastor Dan, it has to start somewhere. I mean, nowhere on the planet that I know of does everything go from being lovely and freedom for Christians and the very next day out-and-out persecution. Most populations wouldn't stand for that. And so what happens is, first, there's a mockery and a marginalization, a lampooning process. Of course, in Nazi Germany, see, in my book, I used this whole downward slide that the Nazis used against the Jews. They started by making fun of them. They started by drawing cartoons. They started by telling nasty and dirty jokes about them. Of course, they didn't have television back then. They started with some motion pictures, you know, and so they had a propaganda campaign, but they didn't have the full-blown Hollywood we have. They didn't have the full-blown television and situation comedy, sitcoms like we have. They didn't have the media machine that we have now, and internet and all of that, but yet they used what they had. Nazi Germany did, and they started by lampooning and lamblasting and marginalizing and mocking the Jews and calling them ugly names, calling them apes and pigs and less than human, and just until people began to hate the Jews and loathe the Jews. And then from there, they moved into the public education system, and they started warping the minds of the little children and about how nasty the Jews were. And then they started working on gun restriction laws to restrict Jews from having guns, because after all, they were less than human. And on it went until they finally were able to disarm the Jewish population under gun laws, and finally they had the population, the big majority of it, convinced that these people were less than human, and then they finally were able to round them up, arrest them, put them in ghettos, eventually put them on trains, take them to concentration camps, and throw them in the ovens like so much trash. It took years to do that, but that's how the process started. And so what we're seeing in America is the same kind of process. Now, I pray to God it never gets that bad, and people sometimes get mad at me saying, I can't believe you're comparing us to Nazi Germany. Well, I'm not comparing us to Nazi Germany. I'm taking a look at the process.
Right.
The process. And we are seeing the same process. Hollywood mocks and ridicules Christians and Christianity and pastors. The media looks for every opportunity to find a failed pastor, and they try to project that in the media as though all of us pastors are like that. They look for every opportunity to find some radical, idiotic Christian that does or says something stupid, and then they plaster that all over the media, and then they make movies about it, and they mock and ridicule and tell the filthy stories and jokes, and of course the whole thing about gun control. And what did the man in the White House say about those people down in the South? They cling to their Bibles and cling to their guns, those bitter clingers. I mean, this is exactly the process that was used in Nazi Germany. So that's my contention. You're right, and I'm right, and Franklin Graham's right, and Billy Graham's right, and the Supreme Court justices that said it were right. Todd Starnes with Fox News, he's right. This process is insidious, and it is happening right before our eyes, and churches had better wake up, pastors had better wake up, Christians had better wake up, lest we find ourselves in an unthinkable, horrible situation, even in America.
Right. Two short things. Number one, I was really shocked by two statistics I want to bring up that I saw the other day. One was that I was really shocked when they were talking about how many, in the mainstream media anyway, they were talking about how many conservative reporters there were. And it was like 7% or conservative, that means the rest of them are extremely left and ungodly. That's a hard battle to fight against. The second statistic was indeed it showed that most people in this country, I think it was 70-some percent, still proclaim to be Christians. Well, you know, you really sit here and wonder why we have this problem that we have. When so many people proclaim themselves to be Christians, what is the reason for them being silent? Because, you know, while we're speaking out and others are, really, 70-some percent, shouldn't that voice be louder? Back to you.
Listen, that's an excellent, excellent observation, Pastor Dan, and I can answer it. And you've thrown me a softball. I suspect you could answer it too, but thank you for giving it to me. but here's the deal. Every single president we have had since the beginning until now has either claimed to be a Christian or at least pro-Christian in their stance. Every president America's ever had. Over 90% of Congress right now polls to be Christian. I think it's like 95, 96% of Congress right now polls to be Christian. Over 70% of the entire population of the United States, as you just quoted, they poll to be Christian. Now, but here's what I tell people. And see, this was one of Alan Combs' arguments. He said, look, Pastor, how can you say Christians are being persecuted? We live in the largest Christian nation. We live in the world. We live in a nation that every president claims to be a Christian. 96% of the Congress claims to be Christian. 73% of the people claim to be Christian. How can Christians be persecuted? And then he says, Christians are not being persecuted. And I said, well, whoa, wait a minute, Alan. You're quoting statistics. But statistics sometimes are divorced from reality and truth. And here's the fact. Just because somebody claims to be a Christian doesn't mean they're a Bible-believing, Jesus-loving, Spirit-filled, church-going child of God. You know that. I know that. Most of your audience knows that. So what most people in America mean when they say they're a Christian is they mean they're not a Muslim. They mean, well, I'm not a Buddhist. I'm not a Hindu. I'm not an atheist. And I'm an American. Therefore, I must be a Christian. That's what they mean. And then, of course, you have a large chunk of those who would stomp their foot and say, no, I am a real Christian. But yet a large chunk of those never darken the doors of the church, never crack their Bible open. They just say with their mouth, you know, well, I believe in Jesus Christ. Well, okay, great. So does Satan. That's what I say. So do the demons. They know Jesus Christ. And then, of course,
well,
you come down.
Let me break in. We're going to go to break in about 40 seconds. So why don't you tell them where they can find you, and we'll come back and we'll talk some more.
Okay, good. Yeah, carlgallups.com. Carl Gallup, CarlGallups. And thank you, Pastor Dan.
Okay, folks, go over there and check out his videos and books. We'll be back in 3 minutes.
Pastor Dan will be right back.
We're back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to Mid-Sized Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Well, folks, please remember to pray tonight about a donation for our work with the homeless and poor from our Mission Church in Wichita, Kansas. Of course, the homeless and poor, but we're also talking about the poor people from all over the city that come looking for us for help. And you know what I'm really excited about? I'm excited because Thanksgiving's coming up. Of course, I keep the feast and all that. I love Turkey Day. I mean, what about that, man? You know, we have that tradition of here, we have family and we have friends, and, you know, you might have that weird aunt or that weird uncle that you only see, like, once a year, you know, and they always do something stupid. You know, you might eat so much that you fall asleep in front of a football game on TV, or you might go outside and your kids tackle you playing football and you get skinned up. But it's a great time, family and friends, and, of course, giving thanks to our Father for everything that he's given us in the last year. I love Turkey Day. And at the Wichita Mission Church, well, you know, we gave all that up because we believe that we should give that to them because we're all about family. We don't give them an agency dinner. We give them a family dinner. And, you know, everybody has a good time, and we do it on Thanksgiving, not like the agencies. We're there on Thanksgiving. That's where we, if our family wants to see us, they have to come to the Wichita Mission Church to do it. So we are there doing it. Also, we don't do it just one day. We do it 2 days. And so right now, I'm doing this for my wife. She says, if you live in Wichita, you want to drop off some pies or cakes or trimmings, you know, and we need to get a bunch of turkeys in. And so we're just now starting our push to get everything ready for dinner. So pray about it. And if you folks out there want to help us, you know, it takes a lot of money to put this dinner on. So we really do need the extra help right now. So send your donation in. You can send it by mail. All I ask is if you send it by regular mail, which is fine, check or money order. Please let us know that it's coming, and when you send it by mail, make sure you write on it Turkey Day or Thanksgiving or something so we know what that donation's for. Otherwise, you know, it'll go into the general ministry fund, and it'll go for paying for everything else for the ministry, the food, the clothing, and all that. But, you know, pray about it. It's a wonderful thing to do, and you know what? It is our best day of the year over there. It's our biggest day of the year. We have the most people come on that day, and I just love Thanksgiving. How about you? Do you love Thanksgiving? Send me a note and let me know. But anyway, pray about it. You know, folks, we are the last hope for so many. And if you can't lift them up during the holiday season, then, you know, it really counts because, you know, it's nothing like being down in the dumps and everybody's having Thanksgiving someplace and you're sitting under a bridge or you're sitting at home with your wife and kids and you can't give them a turkey dinner. But they can come to our place and get it. So praise the Father for that. Anyway, we are the last hope for so many. Pray about it. You know, we are responsible one for another. We are a brother's keeper. Father notices all donations that come from where? Your heart. And all donations, no matter what size, helps. You can donate online or mail a check or money order or find all this information at prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. Or call me at 620-878-4682 if you need to. But, again, let us know if you're donating for Thanksgiving, and we do need your regular support also. And now we're talking about Christian persecution in America with Pastor Carl Gallup. Are you still with me, Carl?
I am here, Pastor Dan.
Well, Carl, I got a question for you that has totally unrelated to everything else. How do you like Turkey Day? Do you like Turkey Day?
Absolutely. My church family knows this. I've been the pastor at Hickory Hammock for 29 years in one place, and they know that this time of year is my very favorite. First of all, the whole idea of a nation taking time to give thanks. Now, whether they give thanks to God or not, that's between them and the Lord, but I know that for the church, for Christians, it's an amazing time of year. There's so much celebration that goes on with it in our church, and of course we tie a lot of it to the Jewish feast, not the American Thanksgiving,
but to the
feast days and how they all tie in, of course, to Jesus Christ and the fulfillment of Scripture. And so we move from there, then, of course, right into the Christmas season and the celebrating of the coming of the Christ, the keeping of the Word of God, the fulfillment of the prophecies, the Messiah has come. And I mean, I just love this time of year, and it all starts right around Thanksgiving.
Yeah, amen. And I do like this time of year because, you know, I talk so much because during the year now with the homeless and poor, you know, you'll see that, well, donations aren't the biggest thing for them during the rest of the part of the year, but once we hit Thanksgiving, there's people that, you know, there's people in Wichita that will go out and find them on the street and try and give them money and things because, you know, they're in that holiday spirit. And so they'll get more during that season. And so I praise it for that reason. They get a lot more blessings during that period of time. I pray that, I wish that it would be that way all year round, but hey, it's wintertime and that's when they need it the worst anyway. But anyway, anyway, so I guess we go back to talking about what we want. But I just had to ask you about Thanksgiving.
Yeah, Bill, thank you. No, I love this time of year, and I really put a lot of emphasis on giving thanks year-round, but especially in the Thanksgiving season. I love it.
Yeah, amen. Anyway, we were talking about the coming, well, I say the coming Christian persecution because it started off slow and now it's going to pick up momentum. Do you think maybe this election might even have any change to it?
Well, that's going to be interesting, and that's a good question. And just finishing up where we were, and then I'll get right into that, is, you know, we were talking about how can it be, you know, 70% of Americans say they're Christian. What's wrong? And, of course, I was answering the question that, well, you know, 90% of Congress says they are. All the presidents say they are. But we know better than that. We know, you and I know, and your audience knows, there's a huge difference in just saying you're Christian, and by that meaning that you're not Muslim. And again, there's a difference between that and having a relationship with God, a born-again relationship through Jesus Christ, a blood-bought, spirit-filled, biblical understanding and born-again experience. So the vast majority of our nation, I think, does not have that. And so that explains why we are where we are. And then when you consider that the media, you know, Hollywood is not controlled by spirit-filled Christians. The media is not controlled by spirit-filled Christians. Our court system and our government systems are not controlled by spirit-filled Christians. Neither is our public education system, by and large. So those are the movers and shakers, those big institutions. And so that explains how it is that we can say we're a Christian nation, but yet act so godless, Pastor Dan, so godless. And so, yeah, you know, things are changing. We're living in very prophetic times. And, of course, we have an election year coming up, and neither you nor I believe that politics is going to be the savior of America.
Right.
But we also understand that politics is nothing more than the stuff of life. It's how people choose to govern themselves. And so how people choose to govern themselves and who people choose to put in office when they have the freedom to do so, the gift that God has given you and me, oh, millions of Christians around the world would give anything to have the gift
right.
that God has given you and me to be able to vote, to be able to run for office. My goodness.
Right.
And so if Christians would stay engaged, if pastors and churches would get engaged, be the salt and the light and never grow weary of doing good and run for office and support people, even if it has to be the lesser of two evils sometimes. I mean,
right,
because
right.
I mean, it almost always is. There's no perfect human until Jesus comes. And in the meantime, we've got to hold back the tide of pure evil as much as we can. So it's going to be interesting in this election cycle.
Right.
You know, there's so much evil going on around the world, brother, and even in our nation and even in our election system.
Let me throw something out there, and I don't know if you've been paying attention to it or not, but I can't help but notice this small thing that happened at a university. It seems to be having a snowball effect. Are you paying attention to that at all?
Yeah. You talking about University of Missouri?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, listen, that whole thing is a sham. I mean, it started with a guy who was mad. I can't remember their names right now. I don't have the article in front of me, but I know. I've been reading and know the situation. It started with a guy that was mad because his insurance ran out. He was moving from one degree program to another, and his insurance ran out, and so he decides to stage a sit-in, a hunger strike, and of course he's, you know, because he's black, and so it becomes a racial thing, and, you know, I'm being discriminated against. Of course, once we've dug into the whole thing, you know, we find out that it was Obamacare that did it to him. It's the rules of Obamacare. It was the Democrats that did it to him.
Not
yeah, and then, of course, it snowballed from there. to the University of Missouri school, the student body president, who's a black gay man, a black homosexual, and he starts spreading lies about the KKK being on campus and, you know, and feces, swastikas, and on it went, and find, you know, the president who resigns, and that, you know, and that a teacher, a staff member resigns, and, you know, and it, I mean, it just blows into this huge thing where the insane people are running the asylum, and then it's finally exposed that it's all a sham. And
right.
I'm telling you, Pastor Dan, I think this whole thing was contrived and worked. Oh, we also find out that the guy that went on the hunger strike, we now have pictures of him with Ron Emanuel, with Rahm Emanuel,
right.
and with Barack Obama. And we find out that this guy has been involved in community organizing organizations out of Chicago.
Right.
So the whole thing is a setup. It's a scam. It's a sham. And it just plays upon the immaturity of a lot of college students. And I, for college students that are listening right now, please, I'm not talking down to you. When I was 18, I had a badge and gun. I was a deputy sheriff from there until I was about 30. I became senior pastor when I was 30. I mean, I know what it's like to be younger and to have a great responsibility. I was married. I had a child. But there are a lot of students, people have to admit, who are on college campuses, who are 17, 18, 19, and 20 years old, that are very, very immature when it comes to, you know, social interaction and political
right.
understanding and being used. And the left, the leftists, they laugh about it. They talk about the useful idiots. And so that right now they're gathering up the useful idiots on college campuses, and they're using them to bring racial discord in this country, which is a tactic of the left, divide and conquer, divide and conquer. And that's what's going on with this Missouri scam.
Yeah, absolutely. And it, and folks, it is snowballing. Well, I didn't have all the information that you had, of course, Carl. It is expanding out to other universities, and it's just a sham. And if you go up and ask the kids, most of them really don't even know what they're writing about.
No.
They're just going along with the flow.
Yeah.
Just like that Occupy America was. That was a sham a couple of years ago. Reporters went out and asked them, what are you protesting? What are you occupying? They didn't really
know. Yeah, they didn't
know.
I'm gonna tell you what I suspect, Pastor Dan. Now, this is just me speculating. My cop mind is kind of kicking into gear here because I used to be in law enforcement for 10 years. but I could be wrong. Look, I could be proven wrong. But I suspect that this Republican debate and all the Republican candidates, I suspect that they're garnering so much, they're capturing so much of America's attention and fascination. The Democrat Party right now is in a shambles. The best thing they can offer is a dinosaur of a woman whose last name is Clinton, who has the FBI investigating her for all manner of crimes for which she should probably go to prison. The next best thing they have is a mummified man who's just an absolute idiot, a socialist communist mummy that they're running. And, I mean, they're supposed to be the party of young people, the party of youth, the party of vigor, and this is the best they've got. And in the meantime, you look at the Republican field, and I certainly, you know, I'm not in love with any of them, but maybe you look across the board and you've got some youth and some vim and some vigor and some successful people all the way from billionaire Donald Trump to, you know, to Ted Cruz and his story and his background and a senator now and came from rags to riches and everything in between. And a woman and a black man and a surgeon that came from rags to riches. I mean, just, you know, Hispanic people from every walk of life represented. And every time there's a Republican debate, the whole nation is tuned into them. Every time there's a Democrat debate, they hardly even get anybody to watch. I mean, more people are watching cartoons than they're watching the Democrat debate. So I think this thing is being ginned up, brother. I think it's being whipped up. It's being whipped into a frenzy. They're trying so desperately. They're afraid they're going to lose a black vote. They're afraid they're going to lose the minority vote. And I think they're whipping it up, using this Occupy America, this community organizing technique. Now we know that this Missouri student that kicked it all off, he's tied to the whole thing. He's tied to Obama himself. How could it not be this, Pastor Dan? That's what they're doing. They're trying to capture the attention of the people they think that they're losing.
Absolutely. And you know what? A lot of people didn't catch the article and what was going on. You know, with Ferguson, that those protesters, that the biggest percentage of the protesters that were sent into Ferguson, I said sent in, were being paid by a group that was being funded by George Soros. That was a community organizer, to $5,000 a month. How we found out is the idiots didn't pay them on time, so they protested them, and that's how we found out.
No, they were shipping them in. You're right. They were paying them. The people from Missouri were not the ones rioting. The people from Ferguson were not the ones rioting. So it's this whole thing is a sham. And I think because of awesome programs like yours, I think that people are tuning in to Christian programming. They're tuning in to conservative talk radio. They're tuning in to the conservative media like WND and others. They're getting the real news. They're getting the scoop. Millions of Americans all across the nation are beginning to figure this out. And in the meantime, the leftists are using the useful idiots, and they're counting on the dumbed-down voters and the low-information voters, to put them back in office so they can continue to destroy and dismantle this nation.
Yeah, absolutely. I think they're pretty desperate to see what's going on, and you're sure right about those statistics. That's why they want Trump on. They have huge rating increases whenever he showed up, just like Saturday Night Live. I don't know if you watched Trump on there, but it was hilarious. But their ratings went through the roof, you know. And so, like he said, he hasn't even been happened to spend money on advertisement. He just has to say, hey, I'll be on your program or do whatever, and they put him on for free, you know. And But that also shed light on the rest of them. And I'm also with you is no, I don't have a vote for any of them yet. You know what I'm saying? And when it comes down to it, it will probably be the lesser of two evils. But you're right about this. I think we're going to see a lot more of it. We'll have to keep watch on it for sure.
Yeah. No, thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah. And let me just say, you and I have talked about this before, but I want to reemphasize to your listeners, please stay engaged in this process while we still have it. And yes, it is always voting for the lesser of the two evils. I mean, think about it. Only two perfect men in this nation is Pastor Dan and me, and we're not running. So, I mean, so deal with it, folks. You're going to have to vote for the lesser of two evils. And of course, I'm being funny, because even as much as you love Pastor Dan, even as much as you might respect me from being on this show and what you know about me, we're not perfect either. And you could, dig around in our politics or some belief we might have on a certain issue and say, well, I don't agree with that. Well, of course not. We're not there. There's not going to be a person that comes forth as a presidential candidate who's going to be the perfect candidate. And I know people have said, well, but I want a Bible-believing, Jesus-loving Christian in office. Well, so do I. But tell me, what president have we ever had who was that? The only two that claimed to be that was Bill Clinton and Jimmy Carter. Bill Clinton sang in the Emmanuel Baptist Choir, and Jimmy Carter taught Sunday school at a Southern Baptist church in Georgia. Look how that turned out. I mean, the best president we ever had that at least spoke about the Bible and God was Ronald Reagan, and he never set foot in a church the entire time he was in the presidency. And, his wife brought in palm readers into the White House and astrologers. I mean, so come on, folks. I mean, this is the world. It is filled with sin and sinful people. But in America, we're the last bastion of freedom on this planet, and we have an election coming up. And if you have to hold your nose and vote for the lesser of two evils, at least it holds back the greater of the two evils so you can breathe and maybe get something done. Because if you don't vote, if you don't get involved, the greater of the two evils is bound to go in, and then it moves in like a flood on top of you.
Yeah, absolutely. If we are subjected to somebody on the left, or like you say, we got two candidates over there, Hillary Clinton, come on. It'll make me want to leave the country,
You might have to. She might ship you out.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what? And that is a harsh reality. We may get it because, you know, if America doesn't turn to God, then, you know, that's about where it's going to be at, because we get the president. Do you think that we deserve?
Yeah, I do. I do. I think we've got the one in office right now we've been deserving for a long time.
Well, perfectly. We've had 8 years of him, and I do feel encouraged lately, because it does seem to me like within probably the last year, you know, since the election process started, it seems like that there's a lot of groups and a lot of people getting that were afraid to speak about Obama or, you know, what he's been doing, not personally as man, you know what I'm saying, but against the things that he's doing, and it seems like that they're speaking up more. And so, you know, I'm thankful for that. It would be nice if we had a better president, but I don't know. We just need to get in there and vote. But we have to engage ourselves, though. The real cure for everything is we need to engage ourselves to get people to get saved. And if we get more people to Messiah or Christ, if you will, then that will be the cure for it all, won't it?
Well, that's right. You know, we've been talking politics and the importance of Christians staying involved, and that is very important. But no, you're right, and that's my main ministry, is to advance the kingdom of Jesus Christ, one heart, one mind at a time, and that's it. I mean, our focus is on the kingdom, the coming kingdom, and in the meantime, bringing people into that kingdom through a born-again relationship in Jesus Christ. But I tie it together because, see, there are some Christians, Pastor Dan, as you know, that just sit on the sidelines and say, well, I'm just going to tell people how to be saved. I don't care about all the other stuff. Yeah, but if you don't care about all the other stuff, pretty soon you won't have the ability to tell people how to be saved, not without getting your head cut off or having your family get their head cut off. So the two go together, don't you think, Pastor Dan?
Well, absolutely. You're absolutely right. And I think that is part of the problem with the church, is that, you know, the church is actually told that because of that they're not supposed to engage in politics. And, of course, I'm not in – there's no way possible I can know what's going on in every church and what every pastor is speaking. But I encourage the pastors to speak more about it, because we do have to occupy – While we're here, even though we engage ourselves and get that personal relationship with Messiah, we are supposed to try our best to have a good environment for our families and to keep out evil. We have to do our part. That's what I think.
Yeah. No, I absolutely agree. You and I are on the same page, Pastor Dan. That's why I love being on your show. You and I see things so much the same. Man, I appreciate you and appreciate the ministry you have, and I'm always honored when you ask me to be on this show with you.
Well, I appreciate you. And we got about 2 minutes left, and I want you to take people and point out the book, Be Thou Prepared Again, because I really do want you to mention that book, because I want people to get it. It's really important.
Thank you. Well, the people that are reading it, and there are many, 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 tens of thousands all over the world, but the people that are reading it are raving about it, and here's why, I think. First of all, I praise God. I think he put his hand on this book, but it comes from 40 years of my life experience, 10 years as a former decorated law enforcement officer, 30 years in the ministry, dealing in the horrific tragedies of life. I live in Hurricane Alley. We've been through devastation after devastation. We've had to minister to people, families, towns, communities, disasters, death, as a lawman and as a pastor. And so people have been asking me these last 6 or 7, 8, 9 years, what do I do? How do I prepare? You know, what about turn the other cheek? Should a Christian have a gun? Should a church have a security ministry team? What about the martyrs? What about Romans 13 and obeying the government? All these questions, they're good questions. But I've answered all of those and dozens more like that in my book, Be Thou Prepared. It's meant for the church. It's meant for Christians. It's meant for people who ask these questions. And I wrote it very easy to understand. And I think everybody that's listening to this program needs to get a copy of that book. Take it to your church. Take it to your pastors. People are doing Bible studies with it. Preachers are preaching from it, of course, from the Word. But, I mean, they're tying the principles
absolutely.
In. Yeah, so anyway, that's it. It's called Be Thou Prepared.
Well, absolutely. And, you know, and that is one of the biggest, you know, a lot of people, they'll get on, they'll listen to the program, Carl, and then they'll email me and say, well, okay, I get where we're at with things, so what do we do? And, you know, What do we do? And so that book is a good answer for that. What do we do? Well, here's the book, Be Thou Prepared. And, folks, as you know, I trust Carl. Wouldn't have him on the program so much as I do, but I love his disposition, so, you know, I can't help it. But anyway, Carl, is there any place, I got to ask you this question, is there any place that program that you did with Alan Holmes is on a recording or something?
On Alan Combs?
Yeah,
folks. Go to my website, carlgallops.com, and when you get there, you'll see slides going across the top, and they're slides of various articles. And I think the second or third slide, there's an article talking about Alan Combs and calling me and Franklin Graham nuts. But right after that, the next slide, it says, listen to the interview. And they can click on that right from my website and listen to the interview. I was interviewed for 18 minutes on Fox News Radio with Alan Combs. And you can go to carlgallops.com and listen to it. I think your listeners would enjoy it.
I will, too, because I didn't realize the audio was there. Well, I got to go, Carl. Thanks for being on with me. And we'll talk again. You be blessed.
Thanks, Pastor Sam. God bless.
All right, folks. Pastor Carl Gallops, he's a good person, you know. A lot of people believe that your vote don't count. I'm still one that believes that a lot of the vote is stolen, but I believe if enough of you speak out, that it will happen. Pray about supporting Wichita Mission Church. We really do need your help. But you must remember, really, there is only one God, and He is your Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave His life for repented sins. He rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. 3 days and three nights. And through Him, and only through Him, is the way to the Father. He said that was the only way. So would Yeshua have lied? No, absolutely not. Always, always, always be a blessing to others. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That's like praying for Messiah's return. Lord our God, Father, King, universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that the Father blesses and keeps you, and His face shines upon you, and is gracious to you, and gives you peace. Until next Thursday, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the Internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.